at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
After nearly 314 million Americans reported inexplicably
New York City's new mayor, Bill de Blasio, just took his first step toward reforming stop and frisk. De Blasio announced Monday the city plans to drop its appeal of a federal court ruling that deemed the practice unconstitutional.
Despite having a steady job and maintaining an ordinary social life, he exhibited increasingly erratic and unstable activity from the moment he was alone in his apartment, including dancing in his kitchen to... Terror and confusion fell upon the nation this week after nearly 314 million Americans reported inexplicably losing consciousness for 8 hours straight last night. With countless victims helplessly recovering from the fugue-like state with no memory whatsoever of the lost time.
I don't know what happened. The last thing I remember, I was sitting on my couch reading, and then all of a sudden it's morning again, and there's this crust all in my eyes.
Coming now and forever, a new kind of family for a new kind of world. The Climateers, that weird family who just keeps getting weirder and wilder. Meet Polar Vortex and his lovable pet, Denier Dan.
Global warming? What global warming?
Dan and Vortex will be sputtering mad when Heatwave Hal comes home with his main squeeze, Drought Lady Death.
Lady, stop tracking dead villagers all over the house.
And you can be sure it'll get weirder thanks to Crazy Man Wildfire Pete. He doesn't care what season it is.
After nearly 314 million Americans reported inexplicably losing consciousness for 8 hours straight last night.
And there's this crust all in my eyes, and I have no idea where the last 8 hours went.
Sometime after dinner, it came for my daughter, too. And now when she asks me what she did for all of last night, all I can really say is, I don't know, honey.
We'll be right back.
As entire cities reportedly fell under the spell of the unconsciousness epidemic, the nation's infrastructure crept to a standstill, with the president urging Americans to remain calm in the midst of the terrifying incident. Researchers at Princeton University, who have been studying the alarming phenomenon since its inception, told reporters that though they were unable to ascertain the source of the sweeping condition, it appeared to be somehow linked to the setting of the sun.
It's always fire season to him. And of course, when East Coast Blizzard Bob drops in, he thinks it's all about him.
Something wrong with that?
But don't tell that to Shrinky, the bitterest ice cap around. He'll go ballistic. With the Climateers, a rising tide lifts all shanties. And whatever happens, no one wants to spend much time at all with boring old scientific consensus.
Inclement weather prevents a liar from getting to work. Their country eagerly trained for the Winter Olympics, and a lunchbox is mostly medication. Providing you with internet news summary. Sources across the nation impatiently reported today that the 24-hour news cycle seemed to be taking forever, telling reporters that the continuous coverage from MSNBC, CNN, and other news sources was simply not continuous enough. Frustrated Americans demanded more panel coverage, around-the-clock bulletins, and breaking reactions from Twitter.
It's like, sure, I have 5 channels of unending news updates constantly flooding my screen, but each one of those only has one slow-moving news ticker. Why not 3 or 4 running at triple speed? Honestly, these networks need to understand that I can't just wait around all day for minute-by-minute coverage.
Fun to see if you could freeze an egg on the sidewalk. So whether you curl up by the fire or die of starvation, either way, you'll love the Climateers, a new kind of family for a new kind of world. New episodes daily everywhere.
According to a new report published this week in the New England Journal of Medicine, over 2% of Americans suffer from synesthesia, with MRI scans, EEGs, and other neuroscientific methods allowing researchers to speculate that as many as 6 million nationwide experience its disorienting mental effects. The study went on to confirm that when looking at an ordinary test page such as this one, many synesthetes would commonly perceive every number as a different vivid block of color.
No touching.
With or without your help.
All right. No touching.
How much clearer can I say? There's always money in the banana stand! No touching!
Around?
No touching!
No touching.
Good. Put it in.
Suspect that there may be some connection between these sudden blackouts and the visions that some Americans have reported experiencing while they were unconscious. But most of these hallucinations are too abstract for us to draw any definite conclusions from.
At this time, we urge people to never turn off their lights and under no circumstances close their eyes.
Give me your hair. Give pop up your hair.
Okay. Having too much fun here with the Furious George Show. I'm Dr. Furious, and the house is DJ Nice, Mike, and sending out some beats to DJ Buck Rooster. It was that crazy cool show. Seriously, some weird climate change going on there. And more importantly, if you're a volunteer and you've made it to the studio lately, you know what I'm saying. It's like the whole outside of the studio is covered in ice. We are rocking out here at WCOM, LPFM, Tavo Carbo. This shame must be a business.
Senate, 36 governors, and thousands of state legislators. Now, chances are you're not hearing a lot about these races yet, but in this era of gridlock and dysfunction in Washington, the battle to determine America's agenda is being fought in state politics. So on this first weekend of the year, we're looking at one state that embodies the conflicts roiling the whole country. On one side, a government controlled by the most right-wing conservatives of the Republican Party, who are remaking their state in their image, fueled by the wealth and power of one very rich man. On the other side, a very vocal mix of citizens whose resistance turned the first day of every week into a moral Monday. Join us for the State of Conflict, North Carolina.
A Monday in July.
Raleigh, North Carolina. A procession moves toward the State House.
This is an unlawful assembly. You have 5 minutes to disperse and leave the office.
Once inside, they block doors and passageways, knowing it will get them arrested. They are part of a movement that's become known as Moral Mondays.
Thousands rallying, protesting at the North Carolina State House for
weeks.
It's
been called Moral Monday. It's a protest against the state.
At the Moral Mondays protest here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
In a state like North Carolina, in the South. Touch your neighbor and say, we're in the South. Tell the media, this ain't Wisconsin. This is the South, where justice was hammered out. Where freedom was hammered out. This is the South.
Protesters are still in police custody hours after taking a stand.
The protest began with a small gathering on a Monday in April. Then their number started growing. Monday after Monday.
Each week there are more arrests than the week before. Tonight there were 49.
The rallies kept growing through the spring and the hot Carolina summer.
The 13th wave of the Moral Monday protests. Crowds grew so large, police had to shut down a portion of Lane Street in downtown Raleigh.
By August, citizens were turning out in town after town across the state.
Asheville police telling us 5,000 or more gathered here in downtown Asheville.
And the nation was taking notice.
Moral Monday organizers say the media attention they're generating outside the General Assembly makes up for much of the political power they lack on the inside.
The protesters are challenging a relentless right-wing crusade to remake the laws of the state.
In North Carolina, they are trying a new way to get people back to work. They're cutting off unemployment benefits.
North Carolina passed one of the most restrictive voter suppression bills.
Lawmakers in the State House and Senate just voted to prohibit expansion of Medicaid.
Executions will soon resume here in North Carolina.
Dropping the state income tax and adding a higher...
For the first time in almost 150 years, Republicans control the governorship and both houses of the legislature, where they have a veto-proof majority. And they're using their monopoly of power to enact laws the Charlotte Observer says will touch every North Carolinian's pocketbook, every student's classroom, and every voter's experience at the poll.
Extreme right wing. They have overstepped so far.
They seem to be targeting those who can least afford to pay for these changes.
We've just kicked 71,000 of our neighbors off of the benefits that keep rooms over their head and food on their table.
What they are doing to public education is a travesty.
The legislature wants to lower the age that we can be tried as adults to 13.
Day or night. We stand for what is right.
We are here to save the soul of our state.
sure.
Adam Hochberg teaches journalism at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
A lot of people from outside North Carolina, when you say North Carolina, the first thing they think of is Jesse Helms, who was, of course, a stalwart of the hard right and was our senator here for more than 20 years.
Homosexuals, lesbians, disgusting people marching in our streets demanding all sorts of things, including the right to marry each other.
On the other hand, North Carolina is the home of a lot of progressive politicians. At the same time that Jesse Helms was in the Senate in the 80s, Terry Sanford was his counterpart in the Senate, who is one of the best-known Southern progressive liberals.
We need to remind ourselves that protest, even obnoxious and blood-boiling protest, is the fundamental ingredient of a free people.
Our state constitution says...
Today, the state's progressive leader is William Barber. Before the right-wing takeover, his coalition had pushed for a string of successful reforms, including raising the minimum wage and measures increasing voter participation.
Because this right to vote and to fight for it is not just political, it's personal.
Over 1,000 people were arrested in North Carolina, taking part in a series of protests called Moral Mondays. For 13 weeks, protesters rallied in the state capital of Raleigh to oppose moves by Republican lawmakers to attack voting rights, education, the environment, health care, and women's rights. Now organizers are planning their largest protest yet, the Moral March on Raleigh, scheduled for February 8th, a week from Saturday.
Reverend William Barber is the head of the North Carolina NAACP. He is a man, if you're ever in the room with him, you'll know he's in the room.
And we have come to serve notice that we will unleash every political, legal, and moral strategy that we can to create the new South, but we will not go back.
Well, fundamentally, America constantly finds itself in where the question is a moral question. How are we going to live out our deepest moral principles of doing justice, loving our neighbor? What does that mean in terms of our laws and our public policy?
Barber was arrested on the first Moral Monday back in April. On the news, he declared he was protesting an avalanche of extremist policies
that threaten health care, that threaten education, that threaten the poor.
One of the things that particularly upset people is we saw cuts to long-term unemployment assistance.
Journalist Sue Sturgis covers North Carolina politics for the Progressive Institute for Southern Studies in Durham.
It wasn't a lot of money in the first place, but it was a safety net. And so one of the things we've seen as part of the agenda that's now being played out in Raleigh is constant snips and cuts and tears to that social safety net.
Yeses and 17 noes. The vote tonight on Senate Bill 4 to block the expansion of Medicaid.
The Republican refusal to expand Medicaid meant denying health insurance to 500,000 people.
How can you stand up and say, I just cut 500,000 people's access to Medicaid and it's the moral thing to do?
they decided that they're not going to expand Medicaid.
And this is going to do great damage to my patients. And so I take that very personally, that I'm not a person who just takes care of hearts and livers, but I need to take care of their the whole body and the whole person.
Dr. Charles Vanderhorst is an infectious disease specialist at the University of North Carolina.
What had happened is that April 29th, Reverend William Barber had had a rally against these policies. So I thought, I should check this out. So on Monday, May 6th, I went along and ended up doing civil disobedience and getting arrested.
But last night, our fake news comedy overlords at The Daily Show. His jump when Asif Manzvi from The Daily Show went to North Carolina to cover the new law there that restricts voting rights. That law was able to be passed in North Carolina, of course, because the Supreme Court this summer gutted the Voting Rights Act, which the Justice Department used to use to block voting laws like this because of their racially discriminatory effect. The Supreme Court struck down the heart of the Voting Rights Act, and Republicans took over North Carolina's state government, and so, bingo, they passed this new voter suppression law. And this is what happened when The Daily Show persuaded a North Carolina Republican Party precinct chairman and Republican Party executive committee member to explain what the new voting law in North Carolina is really for.
The Voting Rights Act of 1965 protected voters from racial discrimination until June, when the Supreme Court struck down a key provision saying it was no longer necessary, which red states celebrated by introducing brand new, now constitutional, restrictive voting laws.
These laws are just as racist as they can be.
Congressman John Lewis apparently doesn't like progress.
In another time and another period, these devices was used to make it harder, make it difficult for the average person of color to participate in the process.
I don't think any part of the law is racist.
North Carolina Precinct Chairman and GOP Executive Committee Member Don Yelton thinks his state's new voting restrictions are just fine.
What's going to happen as a result of this law, the process is going to have more integrity. Right here in Buncombe County, there's always one or two that voted twice a year. They don't know
one or 2 million people?
No, one or two people.
And that's one or two out of how many?
And I deliberately made some decisions in subsequent rallies that I stand next to him. I wanted there to be an old white guy in a white coat with a stethoscope standing next to him.
We're gonna walk together, and go forward until love is lifted, until justice is realized.
He's trying to build a multi-issue, multi-racial coalition in North Carolina.
Ari Berman has been covering the Moral Mondays movement.
There's this feeling that social justice is under attack and that people have to get in the streets to make people care, to dramatize what's happening in the state.
Same struggle, same fight!
Same struggle, same fight!
Same struggle, same fight!
The conservative ideology the Moral Mondays protesters are fighting isn't new. What's new is it just about the wish list for the past 4 days.
What happened in North Carolina? Well, his name is Art Pope. That's what happened.
I'm Art Pope, and I'm a Java creator.
Art Pope has got to go!
In public, the man most often fingered as the mastermind of the right-wing takeover presents himself as just a low-key member of the governor's cabinet, running the numbers like an earnest accountant.
This budget anticipates revenue-neutral tax reform.
He's self-effacing.
Are you the rainmaker of the North Carolina Republican Party?
No, the voters are the rainmakers of the North Carolina Republican Party.
But Art Pope wields so much power here that he's been called everything from kingmaker to king. Pope is very, very rich, and he has shelled out so many millions of dollars for conservative causes and Republican candidates that his adversaries accuse him of buying the state government. Pope claims that's not what the money's for.
Of course I think it has impact, but the impact is educating the voters on the issue so they hear both sides of the issues, not just one side.
There are wealthy individuals who have outsized influence in many states. Usually there's a handful of them.
Jane Mayer of The New Yorker was the first national journalist to investigate Pope's power.
But he really dominates the landscape in North Carolina in the way that nobody else does.
That's because he practices the golden rule of modern politics. He with the gold rules. And Art Pope has the money.
The Daily Show. The Daily Show has been on the air for almost 20 years. The fake news. Fair enough.
Express ourselves.
At what point has your right to express yourself been infringed upon?
Mean clips from Daily Show correspondents that will explain to the aliens in the future why we, at this time on Earth, rightfully worship the gods of satire.
These laws are just as racist as they can be.
Congressman John Lewis apparently doesn't like progress.
In another time and another period, these devices was used to make it harder, make it difficult for the average person of color to participate in the process.
I don't think any part of the law is racist.
North Carolina Precinct Chairman and GOP Executive Committee Member Don Yelton thinks his state's new voting restrictions are just fine.
What's going to happen as a result of this law, the process is going to have more integrity. Right here in Buncombe County, there's always one or two that voted twice a year. They don't know
one or 2 million people?
No, one or two people.
And that's one or two out of how many?
That's just one or two out of 60,000.
So statistically, there is enough voter fraud to sway zero elections.
That's not the point. The bottom line is the law is not racist.
Of course the law is not racist, and you're not racist.
Well, I've been called a bigot before. Let me tell you something. You don't look like me. But I think I've treated you the same as I would anybody else.
Right.
Matter of fact, one of my best friends is black.
So one of your best friends?
One of my best friends.
Is black?
Yes.
And there's more.
When I was a young man, you didn't call a black, you called him a Negro. I had a picture one time of Obama sitting on a stump as a witch doctor, and I posted that on Facebook. I was making fun of my white half. Obama, not the black half. And now you have a black person using the term this, that, and it's okay for them to do it.
You know that we can hear you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you know that. You know that we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Then I found out the real reason for the law.
The law is going to kick the Democrats in the butt.
Wow! An executive GOP committee member just admitted that this law isn't designed to hurt black people, it's designed to hurt Democrats.
If it hurts a bunch of college kids that's too lazy to get up off their bohunkers and go get a photo ID, so be it.
Right, right.
If it hurts the whites, so be it. If it hurts a bunch of lazy blacks that wants the government to give them everything, so be it.
And it just so happens that a lot of those people vote Democrat.
Gee.
North Carolina Republican Party, everybody.
Can I get an amen?
His own, his company's money, and money from the John William Pope Foundation, named for his wealthy businessman father. That single foundation has spent some $46 million on a network of advocacy groups and think tanks bent on steering North Carolina far to the right. Sound familiar?
When people talk about Art Pope, someone who's often invoked are the Koch brothers, David and Charles Koch, who also run a privately held company and spend a great deal to promote their particular brand of libertarian politics. And he's very close to the Kochs. He served as a board member of Americans for Prosperity, which is a conservative policy advocacy group that was founded and is funded by the Koch brothers.
In some ways, Art Pope is sort of a junior-sized version of the Koch brothers. He has a what some people call a kind of a factory production line for his ideology. The people that work for his think tanks are on the radio, they have websites, they have publications that are statewide. They get their message out all the time.
Like this message, aimed right at the Moro Mondays protesters.
Backed by a supportive liberal media, hundreds have been arrested for disrupting the state legislature. $1 million.
It accuses protest leaders of marching to protect access to government handouts.
These organizations are fighting to keep their spot at the public trough. Welcome to Money Monday.
Francis DeLuca once ran the North Carolina chapter of the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity. He's now head of the John William Pope Civitas Institute.
So Civitas Institute is heavily funded by the Pope Foundation, but I can tell you, having now worked at Civitas for 7 years and run it for almost 6 years, Art Pope's control over Civitas is very little. He likes policy. I always try to describe Art as a policy wonk. He believes in a vigorous debate, even among his different groups. If you check, you will notice that our groups do not always agree. The groups he's fund do not always agree on policy.
Perhaps not always, but certainly often enough. For example, on cutting tax rates for corporations and the rich, which is exactly what the state recently did. By 2015, the highest earning North Carolinians will pay almost 26% less in income taxes than they did in 2013. Corporations will pay over 27% less. There's also been a repeal of the estate tax, which applied only to people so wealthy that just 23 families had paid it in the year 2011. When corporate and wealthy interests are at stake, Art Pope is right at home. Where did Art Pope get the money and the ideas that have reshaped the politics of North Carolina?
In a series of protests called Moro Mondays. For 13 weeks, protesters rallied in the state capital of Raleigh to oppose moves by Republican lawmakers to attack voting rights, education, the environment, health care, and women's rights. Now organizers are planning their largest protest yet, the Moro March on Raleigh, scheduled for February 8th, a week from Saturday.
After the Citizens United Supreme Court ruling.
Well, write those numbers up.
He saw the opportunities, and he had the cash because of his family fortune. Art Pope's a very smart man who is almost thinks about the world almost like an engineer, and it's as if somebody had looked at the map in every single district and figured out what it would take to get Republican control. And so he, along with some of the people he was working with, targeted legislative races to pour money into.
One of their vessels was a front group called Real Jobs NC, co-founded by Art Pope and bankrolled by one of his companies and a national Republican group. Its real job was to demolish the other side. And in 2010, it went on the attack.
Putting Raleigh liberals first.
Their high taxes and wasteful spending cost us jobs.
Her priorities are costing us jobs.
Real Jobs NC sponsored this ad.
That year, he and his family and also the outside spending groups that he's associated with spent $2.2 million on state legislative races.
So I'm gonna kick a little ass, gonna kick some ass in the USA. Gonna climb out, gonna soul fly, gonna fly on an eagle. I'm gonna kick some butt, I'm gonna drive big truck on the roads. I'm gonna kick some ass, I'm gonna rise. I'm gonna kick a little ass, rock, fly, an eagle.
Everybody, can I get an amen?
So you still.
In the national scheme of things, is not a tremendous amount of money, but in the context of a state and in the context of state legislative races, where really there's not usually that much money spent, it was decisive.
Tonight's shift in power is historic. The Republicans have taken control of both chambers for the
Republicans are now in control for the first time in more than a century.
So how big of a role does Pope himself think he played?
I supported 19 Republican legislative candidates that I contributed to, and 17 of those won.
That's a pretty good track record.
I'm glad.
Republicans got control of both houses of the state legislature, first time since just after the Civil War.
And the Republicans were very smart. You know, they realized that there was an opportunity there. Whoever controlled the legislature in 2010 would control the state's political future.
The winners would control the future because 2010 was a census year, the first in a decade.
That means they get to control the redistricting process. So as you can imagine, that's an opportunity for legislators to do some pretty self-serving things, and it was the same thing when Democrats were in charge. With computers nowadays, you can get very specific about every house that's included in the district. No, what's a Republican neighborhood? Much foretells which party is going to control that district. And what the Republicans did was draw districts as best they could to elect Republicans.
They had help, according to the investigative group ProPublica, help in the form of dark money from outside sources and Republican operatives coming down from Washington to help figure out the boundaries most favorable to their party. But there was someone else in the room too, Art Pope. One person present told ProPublica, "We worked together at the workstation. He sat next to me." When the next election came around, 2012, the gerrymandering worked like a charm.
The 2012 election occurs, and it is best election for Republicans in modern history in North Carolina. They take not just control of both houses of the state legislature, and they had not done that in a century, but they take overwhelming control. They take a veto-proof majority control of both houses of the legislature. They also get the governor's mansion back for the first time in 20 years.
Let's forget about politics for a while and think about us. That's what we tried in Charlotte when I was mayor.
As mayor of Charlotte, Pat McCrory was known to be a fiscal conservative, but on other issues, fairly moderate for a Southern Republican.
I'm Pat McCrory, and I'm running for governor.
Governor McCrory, in one of the debates before the 2012 election, was specifically asked by somebody on the panel in a televised debate, would you sign any measures to further restrict abortion in North Carolina? And he said flat out no.
If you're elected governor, what further restrictions on abortion would you agree to sign? I'll start with you, Mr. McCrory.
None.
All right.
But once in office, McCrory swung hard to the right, beginning with the casual announcement of a key appointment.
Art Pope has agreed to serve as my deputy budget director.
Say what?
Art Pope has agreed to serve as my deputy budget director.
An innocuous title, masking a startling reality. The man who for years had poured money into those right-wing think tanks, into the Republican Party, and into Republican campaigns, including Pat McCrory's, would now be the governor's man overseeing the state budget.
His power is tremendous and very frightening.
I've been in the Senate for 6 years. We had an office in the post office in Raleigh. And I was going through the post office, going to my office, and one of these leather jacket types, you've seen him, with a country match twirling in his mouth, he looked at me and grabbed me. And I don't really like to be grabbed by people I don't know. He said, hey, ain't you Jesse Helms? And I couldn't deny that, not to yell.
That people can buy their way into that kind of power in what's supposed to be a people's democracy.
Vicki Ryder sings at Moral Monday protests with a group called the Raging Grannies. Several years ago, she moved from New York to North Carolina.
After my husband and I retired, we were looking for a place to live that would be supportive of our values and the Triangle region of North Carolina seemed to be a good fit for us. So we have just been shocked by how quickly things have turned from a very progressive atmosphere to one of extraordinary regression.
Getting the results they had been praying for. Some examples. 75% of the tax cuts went to the top 5% of taxpayers. Anyone making more than, say, $250,000 a year would now pay a state income tax rate at the same level as those making $25,000. Earned income tax credits for the poor were cut. Budgets were cut for at-risk kids and pre-K, even as vouchers were given to private schools. Unemployment insurance was cut, with a bill drafted by the North Carolina Chamber of Commerce. And in Art Pope's budget, the state's higher education system took a hit of $64 million.
You've traditionally had a lot of support for education in North Carolina, especially for a southern state. And I think it's something that a lot of North Carolinians take pride in, not just, you know, pointy-headed liberal intellectuals, but a lot of people in the business community, too. And I don't think you'll find, even among Republican business leaders, this attitude of marginalizing higher education that you have seen from the state capitol. One of the first things that Governor McCrory did, one of the first controversies he got involved with as governor, is he went on a conservative radio show, a national show, and took some swipes at the university. And said, there are too many degrees in liberal arts, and he said, if you want to get a degree in gender studies, go to private school and do it. The people in North Carolina don't want to pay for that.
That's a subsidized course. And frankly, right. If you want to take gender studies, that's fine. Go to a private school and take it. But I don't want to subsidize that. That's not going to get someone a job.
And he said that if you wanted to study these things, that you should go to a private college rather than a public one, which is not an option for so many of us.
Molly McDonough grew up in Chapel Hill.
Go ahead. I'd like to hear. It certainly wasn't forgetting, but it's one that I have worn with pride. I've got a confession to make. When it comes to saying no, I am not even in the same ballpark with the first North Carolinian. There have been two of us. The first North Carolinian to serve as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. His name was Nathaniel Macon. Now maybe you've never heard of Nathaniel Macon.
She's a sophomore at North Carolina State University.
I'm looking at legislation right now. In fact, I just instructed my staff yesterday to go ahead and develop legislation which we change the basic formula and how education money is given out to our universities and our community colleges.
Great, great.
It's not based upon how many butts in seats, but how many of those butts can get jobs.
Excellent. How many employable butts? Okay.
I can't remember the exact quote, but he said it was something weird. It was about like all the butts in seats need a job. My name is Molly McDonough, and I am 18 years old, so when I told my friends and my family that I was planning to get arrested, they were all very concerned about my future. And my response to that was, I am doing this so that I can have a future.
The budget did more than strip cash from education. Among other things, it got rid of jobs for environmental regulators, cut funds for drug addiction treatment, even funds that help people with AIDS buy drugs. The costly ones that would keep them alive. Sean Gorman is a hemophiliac who got HIV from a blood transfusion. He's been treated by Dr. Charles Vanderhorst since 1985.
Again? And he was desperately ill very early with all sorts of horrible, horrible infections, mm-hmm. including you had CMV retinitis.
Yeah, that's why I lost this eye. I don't have vision in this eye.
Gorman gets his medicine through a program called AIDS Drug Assistance Program, ADAP. The Art Pope budget cuts $8 million from ADAP. And advocates say that's enough to prevent some 900 future AIDS patients from getting the life-saving drugs they need through the program.
People won't be able to buy their, you know, to afford to get their medications, then they'll do without, and then they'll get some crazy opportunistic disease, go into the hospital and have huge hospital bills, which they won't be able to pay for.
Right. The average hospital admission would be something like $100,000 for an opportunistic infection.
Who's going to pay for that? Well, you and I'll pay for that. That comes out of our health insurance costs. So not only is it not being a good moral person to take care of them, it economically makes no sense.
All right, we'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah, take care.
All right,
good luck.
Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There have been other dramatic changes. For one,
the election of state judges.
I believe we're the first state in the country to enact public financing for our appellate court races, the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. And the rationale was we didn't want judges running who are going to be getting money from the lawyers who are going to be appearing before them to finance their campaigns.
And it worked very well, and it's been very popular. Democrats and Republicans, men and women, black and white, across the board, it was a very popular program.
But popular or not, the Art Pope Network wanted it gone, and Republicans killed that clean election system for judges.
What further restrictions on abortion would you agree to?
Then there's abortion rights.
Start with you, Mr. McCrory.
None.
Remember that campaign promise candidate McCrory made in 2012? Well, in 2013, Governor McCrory was singing a different tune.
He says he'll sign a controversial abortion bill into law. Protesters tell NBC Charlotte reporter Rad Berkey that is a broken promise.
Basically, the impact will be that 15 of the 16 clinics left in the state that provide abortions will have to shut down under the new standards.
Moral Monday protesters say they barely recognize their state under the current regime. What has outraged them most is the state's new voting law, which cuts right to the heart of democracy.
What do we do?
For failing to disclose suspicions of
once inside, they block doors and passageways.
Protests called Moral Mondays. For 13 weeks, protesters rallied in the state capital of Raleigh to oppose moves by Republican lawmakers to attack voting rights, education, the environment, health care, and women's rights. Now organizers are planning their largest protest yet, the Moral March on Raleigh, scheduled for February 8th, a week from Saturday.
And if you listen, you can hear it all make sense. A conversation with the bees and the birds and the bees. If you listen, you can hear it all make sense. With the bees and the birds and ants.
All right. Hey, listen, this is Furious George chilling out, sending shouts out to all the folks out there who are hopefully going to participate in the big, crazy protests in Raleigh, February 8th, the Moral March, taking it to the right-wing folks who are trying to take over. Talking about some citizens fighting back in this crazy state of ours, state of conflict, which you might have been listening to there, a little bit of Bill Moyers, and also some other fun stuff from Democracy Now! And Rachel Maddow and Bill, other fun stuff. Speaking of which, crazy man DJ Nice Mike is peeking! I'm going to be sending it out here, signing off here, as we do, you know, at the end of this hour. But you know what? We're going to have some more fun stuff here. So stick around. I think it's nacho cheese time. We're across the street. So we're going to be around in the neighborhood. Keep blasting some beats. You can also check out Furious G at furiousg.blogspot.com. And you can learn about all these crazy sounds and beats that we're playing. Like that there in the background, something called Dream Tempo, a 1990s mix by this crazy guy who now is popular called Bass Nectar. He actually made this way back in the day for a friend of his. And what else? We've been playing some other fun stuff from an Asheville group in the spirit of Buncombe County. Bunk is a term from Buncombe County, which means originally this old guy named something or other, Senator Buncombe, would get so drunk in the state house that he would wake up from a delirium and just start talking gibberish. I'm peeking! Anyway, Bunk County, Asheville, and the big old middle finger out to that guy, Don Yelton, who was spotlighted on The Daily Show. I actually know that guy. I saw him in many different gadfly kind of things that he was doing. What else? Other fun stuff that we played from The Onion and who knows what other crazy beats. Look, Moral March, all right? Moral March, Feb 8th. You can be there. Be there. Do what you got to do non-violently. The only way to fight dark money is with bright justice. I'm Furious. Stick around. We got more Mike Power Radio. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.